Welcome to Running on Indy, episode 4, the Runner's Wives edition. I'm Diana Merce-Davis.
And I am Kelly Robertson.
Hey, wait a minute. That's our line. We got to start over here. I'm Jesse Davis, and this is
Blake Robertson.
So today's show, we're going to be talking about the importance of having a good support network when it comes to running and achieving your best goals. And today we'll be doing that while chatting with our biggest support network in our lives. And this is a moment where we can both suck up here, Blake, so it doesn't go too harsh on us. Definitely the biggest support network in our lives, the women we love, the ladies of our life, Diana and Kelly
Robertson.
Blake.
Before we get into all that, we need to thank our sponsors, 361. Keep listening for details. After the show, we're going to tell you how you can win a free pair of 361 running shoes.
And we thought we would do a new thing on this episode we haven't done before. We're all going to be drinking something different, a nice drink, and we're going to get that started off right now. Oh, yeah. So we'll be having some refreshments during this episode, and depending on how well it's going, you might hear those noises a lot, or you might hear them a little bit. You can be the judge on whether or not that's good or bad. So everybody has their drink, and at the end, we'll be telling you exactly what we've been drinking the whole time. Big reveal at the end, and I think you're going to be surprised, or maybe not, based off our personalities. So want to kick us off here, Blake?
Sure. Diane and Kelly, can you introduce yourselves and tell us what you do for a living?
I'll go first. I'm Diana. I'm married to Jesse, and I am an attorney. I'm not a prosecutor right now, but I prosecuted people for 7 years, so I think of myself as a trial attorney. It's great. I love it. And yeah.
Yeah, and needless to say, I never win an argument, ever. She's experienced at this way more than I am, actually certified. So, mm-hmm. Kelly, you want
to? And yeah. She's legally qualified to know how to leave you, too.
Hey, let's not start that.
Yeah, I'm Kelly, and if you haven't been able to tell already by my accent, I am married to Blake. I am a speech-language pathologist. I work at a place called Washington Healthcare. It's owned by American Senior Communities. So I work with mainly dementia patients, and I actually just got a promotion to director of therapy.
Yeah, cheers to that.
Yeah, yeah. Cheers, Kelly.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink. All of us have cans.
And bottles, except for Blake. that's awesome. Two very achieved women in both their fields. And as far as us, we're mostly our achievements come in the running end. I mean, we are very successful managers at the Runners Forum, Runners Forum downtown in Broad Ripple. So what is it like for both of you, what is it like living with two grown men obsessed with running like we are? And don't hold back any punches.
Well, I can't really answer what it's like living with two grown men obsessed with running, but I do live with one.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's probably more exciting for you.
That would be a little bit different.
That would be awesome, but unfortunately, we're in Indiana. So my one husband. And I guess even if we weren't in Indiana, women get the not fair deal on that. I would still be living with one, and there would be other women. But whatever. We all know what I'm trying to say here. It's actually, I think it's a lot different than people think. I think people think that when I say I live with Jesse and he's an elite runner and they know his background or whatever, that there's a lot of conversation about running and talk about running and obsessing about running. And it's, for me, because of Jesse's personality, really is not that way. I always tell people he works out the same amount of hours a day that I do. Of course, his frequency is more. I wish I was, you know, working out every single day. But, you know, if he goes to work out for an hour, he's getting much more done than I am in an hour. I have trained for a marathon before, and I was gone the entire day, pretty much. So just because of the efficiencies of it. But it really isn't much different than, I guess, anybody else. I mean, he does have a schedule of running where he gets up early. I am a night owl, so I'm not waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning typically. So it's kind of just he runs and comes home and I kind of don't even notice.
And then we have some coffee.
Yeah, and then we have some coffee. So, and that's that. But it's not, he's not telling me about his statistics or worrying about them really. And maybe that's, I think that actually leads to part of his success at running is that he's not really overly concerned with a good run or a bad run. I mean, of course, I do know if it was a good workout or a bad workout in general, but it's not obsessing over numbers and times and calories or anything like that, like how I would picture being married to an elite athlete would be. So I think that's the most shocking part that people.
And when you work out, what is your favorite thing to be?
I CrossFit. So I run, you know, kind of thanks to Jesse. I never knew what pacing was really. And so I just thought I was a really bad runner. And I didn't know that your chest wasn't really supposed to burn when you're running if you're in shape. And it would just stop if once you got into shape. you know, I've worked out my whole life. I would go to the gym, et cetera, et cetera. But I love CrossFit. I work out at Naptown Fitness. Shout out to them. It's an awesome CrossFit gym, a yoga studio, practice into yoga. Go there as well. Try to diversify myself. It kind of mixes, you know, of course, running lends itself to CrossFit and CrossFit lends itself to running. It's made me a better runner. And, of course, I love the weightlifting. I am short. I'm 5'3", so it's the only sport I've ever done where being short gives you an athletic advantage, such as an Olympic weightlifting. So, and it's just badass for women to lift weights. I think every woman should lift weights. Every little girl should lift weights. And people would not be so body conscious if they did so.
Yeah. It's good for running, too.
Yeah. And I want to touch on that for the audience to say how strong Diana is.
Oh, yeah.
Because me and Jesse did a race about 2 or 3 years ago, Grandma's.
That's right.
And after the race, anybody's done a marathon, you can't walk. So we were in a hotel room, and I could barely walk up the stairs, and Diana literally picked me up, carried me over her shoulders, and walked me upstairs. No lie.
And Diana may or may not have beat me one time in arm wrestling. We're not going to talk about that too much, but let's just we'll put that out there.
I kicked his ass, and he did get really mad and say that I cheated.
I think there's video proof of you carrying him upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So, Kelly, what's it like living with Blake?
Well, it's the complete opposite of what Diana just said, actually.
I knew it as soon as you told me.
That's why
opposite.
I said for Jesse personally, because
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I'm a little more laid back than Blake.
And I actually thought it was going to get better once he started working at Runner's Form, because I thought, oh, he can talk about running all day long. When he gets home, he's bound to have something else to say. Nope, not at all. There is not one day that goes by that we don't talk about running. I hear about workouts, regular runs, upcoming races from like two years from now that he possibly might be able to do if this happens first. So yeah, it is all consuming of my life. There's terminology I never knew before.
Yeah.
I mean, I never knew anybody before Blake that was this obsessed with anything. So now my life is pretty much all about running. I mean, my friends know about running and they could care less.
Here's the tip, Kelly. When we're on a run and Blake's just obsessing over running, I just start talking about television or movies.
Mm-hmm.
It totally diverts the whole subject. I'm like, sometimes we're running. I'm like, I don't want to talk about running right now. So just a little pro tip.
Mm-hmm. So. But I will say not even just, you know, the physical aspect of it consuming my life with, for example, like vacations have to be based around his training program. You know, where we're going to have dinner that night is based around, does he have a workout the next day or does he have a race because he has to consume a lot of calories? But even the emotional aspect of it, you know, whenever he's finished a race and he's super excited about it, I'm right there with him on that high. But whenever he's down and out, I'm right there with him. You know, it's sometimes a roller coaster. I mean, I don't even sleep well the night before his races. Like, I'm just so amped up and, you know, ready for him to go and ready for him to do well.
Yeah, same here. The sleeping the night before, like when Jesse had his last chance to qualify for the trials. Oh my God. I mean, I never sleep the night before one of his big races. I mean, I'll be laying there anxious as hell. And he's like, he sleeps in 10 seconds. I mean, that's not him at all. He's super laid back. In fact, like, it's, again, the opposite. Like, oh, you're racing this weekend, you know, meeting in 2 days, you know, it's Thursday. Like, oh, you have a race Saturday. Like, okay. Jesse's sort of, I think he keeps it quiet also to keep himself calm and doesn't really talk about it.
Try to save it for the start. Yeah. Use that energy at the, when you get going.
But I'm an anxious Annie anyway by nature, so it probably lends itself to why I have the job that I do and I'm a lawyer. But yeah, I'll worry about things, but he doesn't.
But you know, Jesse may need to start worrying a little bit more, because I think it was 2 years ago I was driving them to a race, and about an hour into the race, actually the drive there, Jesse realized he forgot his racing shoes.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And luckily, a friend that was coming to run had an extra pair he could, run in.
Well, you know, it worked out. I didn't learn my lesson.
That's not a surprise.
Well, Kelly and Diana, can you tell the audience, which I guess you kind of touched on a little bit, Diana, your personal experience with running?
I hate it.
Yeah,
absolutely hate it. I hate exercise in general. I'd rather I don't want to do anything physical. I'd rather sit and watch TV, go shopping, read a book, anything. No running for me. Absolutely hate it. I did try the couch to 5K one time. I think I made it 2 weeks in. But you going strong.
You do some working out though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I go walking only when the weather's nice though.
Okay.
If it's cold, no. Raining, no. Okay. You know, too hot, no. But yeah, a little bit of walking. I do go to the gym sometimes, but I prefer things like going to the mountains and hiking, going kayaking. You know, those things are more up my alley.
Yeah, I enjoy those things too.
I've run a marathon. I mean, I guess I really don't have to identify myself when we're talking.
No, I'm pretty sure people pretty can awesome, tell who's who.
I've run a marathon. It was a slow one. And I want to shout out to my training partners, Becky Schneider and Karen Hansen.
Yes,
they're my awesome. Real running idols. I love them. My gosh. I would not have been able to do that without them. And so I did run a marathon. You know, I've done 5 or 6 half marathons. In 2010, I started running. I was in Chicago living there. And I was always a tennis player before that. But it was really hard and expensive to play tennis in Chicago. So I just started running in the city. And, you know, to kind of cope with things, like my dad had a terrible motorcycle accident in 2008. And honestly, to cope with it, I just started running. And I think a lot of people have that outlet from running, and there's a reason that you run. And actually, I heard Jesse's coach one time, Matt Ebersole, say every runner has demons. And we were talking about Brooks' logo, Run Happy. And it's really like, for me, it's like Run Angry, because, you know, if you're upset about something, running just can kind of change your outlook on it. And has a lot of therapeutic effects. So initially I started doing it because of that, and it was easy and accessible. I think that's why a lot of people do it. And I just kind of kept up with it. Once I started CrossFit, I fell in love with that over running, but really that's what gave me the guts to try the marathon. I did that in the middle of CrossFitting. So
yeah, and I can say I helped Diana coach. I helped coach her through her first marathon. And one of my best experiences with running was just seeing her at the end finishing that marathon, because I knew it was such a big bucket list, something she never thought she could do. So that was a really awesome moment, just seeing her finish, and that was really exciting. Yeah, so. Yeah. Congrats.
Thanks. Still feels good. It was 2013.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Monumental. Indianapolis Monumental Marathon.
You did it.
It's a great one.
So we're going to struggle when we have kids, because one half is going to be like, exercise. The other half is going to be like, no, you don't need to.
No, see, I'm fine with encouraging other people to exercise. I just don't want to do it. I support all people exercising in all ways you want to do that. But see, in middle school and high school, I was a cheerleader, so now I'm a cheerleader again. Works out perfectly.
There you go.
And we had mentioned earlier about, you talked about a lot of trips that were focused around running. What are some of your most favorite memories or favorite trips that you've gone on with us well, you with Blake and Dinah with me. Like, what are some of your best memories of running, a trip focused around running where we went to an event or whatever? So.
Yeah, actually, whenever Blake and I got married, we made a pact that if he was going to be this obsessive about something, I had to get something out of it. And my obsession is travel. So we said, okay, you do a race, we travel, vacation afterwards. So, you know, I would say one of my fondest memories has to do with in February, we went to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Blake did the USA Track and Field Masters Indoor Championship. And I finally got to go on a hot air balloon ride, which was completely amazing, awe-inspiring. If you go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, absolutely do it. Blake was too scared and stayed in the hotel room. That could be why the trip was so good, because he was back in the hotel room and didn't talk about running the whole time.
What about, I heard you guys took the Breaking Bad tour?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. He brought me back some rock candy that was, looked like meth. So that was pretty tasty.
How do you know what meth was like?
Quote, unquote, candy.
Well, from the show. Maybe you've seen the show.
And you don't even want to know what I had to do to smuggle that.
Oh, no.
Those bags fits in places you wouldn't even
believe. Oh, man. Oh, man. I regret eating that.
Yeah, I would say that was my best memory.
And then, Diana?
I think, obviously, the one that stands out for me, not obviously to anyone listening to this, but to us, is that when we went to the Middle East for the 50K World Champs, right?
50K Road World Championships.
Yeah, 50K Road World Championships. Jesse ran that, came in fifth for the USA. But we got to go to Qatar, Doha, and then we went to Dubai since we were already in the Middle East. So that was a pretty epic trip. And the traveling thing with running is real. I mean, most of our vacations have been centered around running. You know, you go and the first night you get there or whatever is can't really walk around or explore things. I mean, we do this at the Chicago Marathon, which I'm bringing up because that's also one of my favorite trips. But the night before the race or a few days before the race, it's not like you're walking around exploring the city. You have to schedule time after the race so you can do those sorts of things, because Jesse has to rest his legs, which is a real thing, and save his energy. But yeah, Chicago Marathon, besides the, you know, epic Middle East trip, that's always been one of my favorites, because you get to see the kind of behind the scenes, what happens. You're with, you know, all the elites and the Olympians in the same tent. And it's funny, I've been in rooms with, you know, Ryan Hall and all these other, I finally took a picture with Dina Castor. Jesse wasn't around. I'm like, I'm doing it. But, you know, I've seen all these people really up close, and we're just hanging out in the same room with them. And they're obviously normal people like us. And there's no photos of it because, you know, you're trying to be cool. But it's really neat to see, like, what's behind the scenes and big races like that, and then going every year and getting to know the people that run them and all of that has been really neat.
Well, at least with the Middle East trip, we weren't missing out on drinking or anything beforehand, because it's really hard to find alcohol and pork in the Middle East, just FYI. It's, there's a lot of signs.
I had to bring my own bacon. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Eat more bacon, yeah.
I lived with disease for a year, so yeah.
Yeah, you know all about it, yeah.
But yeah, it was amazing. Middle East is awesome, and it was beautiful, so.
Okay, well, this is for both of you guys.
Girls.
Gals.
Gals.
Get it right now. Get it right.
Sorry. What would be the most annoying thing
that... Oh, no.
I know what Kelly's going to say. What is the most annoying thing that we do as runners? And this may relate to all you out there, too. Can you touch on some of the one thing that's most annoying that I do, and then Diana, what Jesse does?
I would say your memory and problem-solving abilities with running versus everyday life is complete opposites. You know, I can tell him, hey, before you leave for work, make sure you do this. Nope, he forgets about it. You know, whenever we go out to dinner, I always have to figure out the tip. But I can ask him, I could probably do it right now, and you could tell me. If you ran, let's just say, 5:23 pace for a marathon, what would your time be?
It would be like 220
something.
220 something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or 220 low.
220 4 to 222. So.
Yeah. Who won the 2000 Olympics 10K, and what was their time?
Oh, 2000. Probably, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a long time ago. Nate
Bekele.
Mm-hmm. Normally you are like spot on, but
2000 is kind of a while back.
I wasn't running in 2000.
excuses.
You said 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably know. Yeah.
Normally he is spot on about that, but life, nope, not at all. Now I'm interested to see what you thought I was going to say.
The altitude tent.
Ah, yes.
Oh, you still doing that?
Nerd alert.
An altitude tent?
I can't get consistent.
Let's explain what an altitude tent is for people that don't
know. So an altitude tent is a device which I rigged because it goes over the whole entire bed. And so at first I tried it over the whole entire bed, and that means Kelly would have to get in there with me.
And the cats.
The cats and Kelly weren't buying it. So then I rigged something with some PVC pipe that just fit completely over me.
That sounds so dangerous.
Let's start off with the fact that he ordered this.
Yes.
And brought me into the room and thought, Kelly, this is going to be perfect. And I laid my pillow down.
For who?
And it hung halfway off the bed. Like, I couldn't even lay my pillow flat. So then he had to, I think you and Nick went to the hardware store and cut down the pipes.
Yeah, we rigged it up.
It would only fit on his side.
And it works. It's awesome. Well, this is the thing. So it would work if I could actually get consistent with it.
So it goes over your bed, and what does it do?
It basically restricts the air into the tent, and so you
recruit more blood.
So it simulates
you simulate to altitude. So basically, it's hard for you to breathe in there, but not enough where you're going to die. But it's just,
and you do that so that you can become a better runner because of your red blood cells, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Increases
that
your
is
red
correct.
Blood
cells. It's a legal
a little direct
way
examination
of,
for me.
Yeah.
Hey, the lawyer coming through.
So he has to sleep in it for 3 weeks straight. If he skips one night, you have to start back over.
Yeah, it's 3 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Is it hot? Right.
It's hot, yes.
It gets hot in the whole entire room.
I sweat a lot when I sleep. There's no way I could do that.
And the first week you're in it, you feel like complete shit. Mm-hmm. So, like...
It makes you anemic.
Yeah, you have to drink lots of water. You don't recover as well. Once your body adjusts to it, about 2 weeks, you're fine. But it takes a while.
We've been to Utah, and I woke up every morning with a hangover.
We were in
not drinking because it was the altitude. And it was so
dry.
Extreme.
You had to chug water as soon as you woke up. Mm-hmm. My mouth is so dry all the time.
Yeah, it felt just like a hangover, headache, and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that to myself. Yeah, I'm not that hardcore, I guess.
Well, then you have to wake up in the night and push the cats off because they're jumping on top of it. So,
So what if the generator goes off? Do you lose air or?
It's kind of a calming sound. It goes, so if it cuts off, you'll be at the tail.
What if you didn't wake up though?
I would wake up.
Yeah.
I'm a light sleeper, so I've woken up before whenever it cut off.
Okay.
I don't know if it's really working, but maybe because I haven't been consistent enough. I started using it to get ready for Albuquerque. For the Masters Championship.
Yeah, I remember. I just didn't know you were still
doing it. And I didn't feel like it really helped because it sucked.
Well, then we found out you weren't using it correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
You wasn't using it.
Not everybody responds to altitude, right?
That's correct. Anybody?
Yeah.
And I got there, and a guy told me, you got to go 3 weeks on, 2 weeks off, and if you miss one day within 3 weeks, you start over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've learned.
Nasty break.
Okay.
Yeah. It would have been the perfect time to test it, though, because I didn't really get sick or anything, but we went up this tramway onto the mountain, and we get up there, and there's, a flight of steps, and I just go taking off, and I get to the top, and I'm like, I can't breathe. Not expecting that, but that was the only time it really affected me, but he said he definitely felt it during the race.
Yeah.
So, Dana, what's annoying about this heifer over here?
Yeah, oh, boy.
He's pointing to Jesse, first of all. This has to do with running because, when you're running, you have to stay hydrated, which means you have to drink something.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse already knows what I'm going to say. And it's actually pissing me off as we sit here because he's drinking his beer silently because there's a microphone and it picks up everything. Jesse is the loudest drinker in the world.
Can you demonstrate?
He takes a drink and he's like, it's like a sound effect.
Demonstrate it.
I'll try. I always ask him, is your esophagus the size of a dime? And maybe in real life, it really is the size of a dime. Maybe Kelly can answer this question. But in that case, is it the size of a pinhole? Like, I'm like, do you need to go to the doctor to get that blockage out? It is crazy. I'll see if I can imitate it.
Oh, boy.
So first of all, if you're doing if it's any hot beverage, you're sipping it audibly, like, again, like a sound bite. And then it's like, so like, let me go. So that's the sip. I can't do the gulp because I'm drinking beer and not hot coffee, and that was bubbling in my mouth. Weird. Okay, here we go.
That was pretty loud.
Yeah, it's like exaggerated. I hope the microphone's picking that up. But it is insane and drives me crazy and makes me rage.
Oh, man.
Blake does the sipping thing, too, with soup.
Yeah.
Kelly, you got any...
Every single time.
Hey, at least it's not, like, a huge character flaw. That's fine.
No.
Jesse's also, like, on a more serious note. Jesse's, like, super laid back, and I'm not super laid back at all. So, you know, that's where all of our conflicts lie, because I just want to shake him awake and shove my face into a pillow and tell me.
Kelly,
to
what can I do about this swallowing issue? You're a speech.
I should have brought my stethoscope and then I could listen to you swallow.
You need to maybe teach me how to swallow. This might help.
You know, you can get your esophagus stretched. That is a real thing. That is a real thing.
Esophagus stretched.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Do your eyes water after you swallow? Does your chest hurt? Do you cough a lot?
I've never thought about any of these things,
clear.
But now I'm going to be thinking about it. Oh, man.
Poor Jesse.
All right. Maybe,
I think he really just does it at home. Like, I mean, I don't notice it right now.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Well, if I get my esophagus stretched, maybe I'll get a video and put it on our blog. How about that?
No, thanks. Yeah.
All right. Never mind.
Look, I'm surprised Kelly didn't bring up my hacking episodes I had before,
like with that, with like the beanbag,
like a nervous tick or something.
No.
So every time before he has a big workout or a race, it sounds like he's coughing up a lung.
Oh.
I mean, legit.
I've heard this. Yeah,
sounds like he's coughing up a lung to the point where people look at me like, is he about to die? And I'm like, no, he's all right.
He'll do that after a hard workout, too.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do you smoke, dude? What's going on?
Jesse's nervous tick before a race is, like, disregarding the start time. So, literally, if you are familiar with races, you know, the wheelchair athletes go off like, maybe a couple minutes beforehand. It's been more than once where we've been inside the building that he is designated to before the start of the race. I hear the wheelchair athletes going off, and it's like, watching a bomb being defused, like watching him tie his shoelaces at the literal slowest pace that I've ever freaking seen. And yeah, it's insane. And again, that goes back to like him being super laid back and me not being super laid back. I've nearly had heart attacks thinking that he's going to miss the start of a race before. Mm-hmm. And he always reminds me that he made the start of every race before I existed. And I guess that's true, but I don't know how.
That's true. I've always made it. The 10 miler I did with Jake in DC was pushing the limits. We almost didn't make that one, but
imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a combination of me and Jake. So, that's neither here nor there. So Diana, I wanted to talk about something we did pretty recently. And we talked about this on the last episode, the back of my feet relay. I thought this was a really cool experience where we teamed up actually for the first time running, and it was a 2-person team, and me and you ran it together, and we actually won the 2-person solo.
Woo-woo.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Number one solo 2-person team. And we were third overall. And then that's including 4 to 6-person teams. Actually, Blake was on one of the teams that was just ahead of us, but we weren't too far behind. So
I was really proud of you for carrying your weight.
I thought that was a great experience.
It was all you, Diana.
I was
actually a little worried that Jesse wasn't going to be able to finish, and you were going to have to pick up the slack.
So
yeah, that was awesome. It was, you know, I'm not a huge runner, and I haven't been running, but I, you know, unlike my former years, I'm attributing this to CrossFit because my legs are just stronger. You know, I'm able to pick up at any point in time without running training really. You know, it's 2.2 miles per loop, so we were doing enough loops to make a marathon. And so I was doing the first one and the last one, did the first one fine, and I'm very competitive. So, you know, beforehand we had this talk. I was getting kind of nervous for this race all week, even though I know I haven't been running. I know Jesse doesn't care. He's just going to treat it as his long run, et cetera. We, you know, he was like, I don't care, you know, and he's actually not very, he's not a cutthroat person. So he's just not, no matter what race, he's not really ever cutthroat about anything. And he, but I am. So he's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. And, you know, so I run my first lap and I was able to do that without, you know, walking any of it, which, you know, again, I have not been training for a race and it was really hot. So I'm going along and there's somebody in front of me and I'm right behind her. And every time I tried to pass her, she would kind of speed up a little bit. So I'm secretly getting pretty pissed about this. And I come through the first lap and Jesse, you know, he's telling me some stuff about, you know, where our things are, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, go! And I was like, wow, that was so extreme. I don't know if you guys watch Broad City, but there's an episode. One of the girls is like really, really competitive and it's making fun of that. And that I was that girl on that episode, if you're familiar with Broad City, but it's awesome. If not, you should watch it. So that happened. And then I was also running the last lap. So Jesse does his long run. He's fine, of course. Of course, kicking everyone's ass. And, you know, you can't tell it's a circle. And there's so many people running, which was awesome. Back on my feet is great. And so here I go. I'm on my last lap. I have no idea what place we're in or anything. And super hot at this point. It's like noon. I make it. I think I got a mile and a half in. And I'm talking to myself. And I'm like, okay, Diana, just calm down. You know, this isn't like the Olympics. Like, it's okay to walk a little bit. And I'm really, you know, giving myself a talk about this. And as soon as I start walking, I hear the announcer go, there's seven teams out on their last lap for third place. I'm like, well, shit. So, I mean, at this point, I don't know who the snake in the grass is. No one is certainly not expecting it to be me. So I am like, well, I guess I can't let anyone else pass me. I guess I have to die now. So I start running, and, man, it was a struggle. But, yeah, we got third place. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was pretty awesome. I was excited.
Yeah.
When you crossed, I was like really pumped. And when you came in and gave me that baton and you said, go, go, go. It's like, it put like a tone. It set like this tone where I was like, I was just doing a long run before. And now I'm like, oh, I need to go a little bit because we want to do well, apparently.
So, yeah. Diana's, no matter what the plan A super is, competitive. It always turns out to be competitive for me. It's pretty,
oh, yeah.
It's pretty stressful.
So, now we're gonna, if I don't know if we can do this and post edit, but if we could edit in some like sexy love music, I don't know if this is possible, but then you know, like
what?
Never mind. You know, like something like where we're gonna be talking about what you mean to us and everything. So if we could get in some like cool, like
some Barry White
or something going on, and we'd be talking about, you know, it'd be kind of cool post edit. So Blake, why don't you tell us?
You can just bring out some porn and play that.
No, you took it too far. So anyway, Blake, tell us what Kelly's support means to you as a runner, and like, come on now, come from the heart.
Nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man.
And no, I'm leaving.
No, Kelly means a lot to me. And I think any runner at any level, you have to have a good support system. If you don't, I just don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible for you to be successful or even to do it. It's hard being solo without any support system. I've seen friends try, and it's not possible. If Kelly wasn't around, I probably would have stopped running a long time ago, just because, you know, just not gonna lie, I mean, financially, I mean, she, it helps to go to races. I don't get a lot of races for free, locally, and ones I do, but not the big ones that I really want to try to do well in. So we have to plan around that, and financially I couldn't do it by myself, so it helps to have her there, and also the support too there. Because when you show up to a race and you're there, I don't know, we'll just say Boston, because I'm doing Boston this year, you're going to be there with hundreds of thousands of runners. Nobody knows who the hell you are, gives a shit about you. But I got my wife there.
We give a shit about you, Blake.
Well, somebody's there caring. Somebody's there caring at the finish line.
I will say Kelly is a great, great cheerleader. Oh, man. I've heard her so many times so loud at the end of races.
You know, Kelly's got a great cheering voice. Oh,
I can attest to that.
I start to cough when I yell loud, so I'm not very good.
I don't notice a lot of people when I'm running because I just kind of tune things out. But, I mean, I always notice Kelly. So.
Well, prime example, last week, Kelly got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and met me and Jesse out by the downtown next to the White River and took pictures of us for the photo shoot we're doing for 361 and our blog and all that jazz. So not many people would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and stand out there with us posing in front of the water with different poses, taking pictures.
Which is a little lame, but...
It's a little lame, but...
But it was needed.
Yeah, it was needed. So you guys can pick on us for that.
No.
So, but anyways, that's just a testament.
Hate
us
because of the anus.
That's just a testament to Kelly. So, I mean, I think I would have gave up running a long time ago. Yeah. If she wasn't in my life.
Aww.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Cheers.
Cheers. Love you,
heart. Oh, nice. Yeah, and Diana absolutely means the world to me. She, as we've talked about, I'm very laid back. Diana keeps me in line, gets me to the start line, makes sure I have my shoes. She's there to cheer me on. I don't think I could do it without her. I would just crumble.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, Diana means the world to me, and she's the best. She fills in for all my weaknesses, and like I said, I'm laid back, and she will plug those in, and she's always there to pick me up and support me. Like, if I'm down about something, she'll give me the pep talk, and like, I'm like, yeah, I was thinking I couldn't do it, and like, and when after I talk to Diana, I always feel uplifted and feel like I can get out there and do it. And she's brought me through a lot of down times, and I definitely could not have done most of anything I've done without her. So, love you, babe.
Well, and I'll say one more thing about Kelly, and it's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. But she is straight honest with me. If I suck, I suck.
Oh, you need honesty.
So, like, if I don't run good, I don't run good. And she'll say, uh-huh. Well, you just didn't stay with the pack. Why did you fall off the pack? And you suck that day. You suck. Or you need to man up. And so, like...
That's the important thing about the people who are close to you, because
it's real because I didn't man up, so...
Yeah, that's an important aspect of...
I think a lot of it, too, I mean, in relationships in general, friendships, coach, whatever it is, you know, you always have, like, your self-doubts, and people that know you better than yourself aren't going to listen to those ridiculous fears that you have. So, Jesse's insecure about something. I'll kind of tell him to suck it up because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Et cetera. So,
Diana will be straight up with me, and I totally appreciate that. You just need honesty, and you need someone close to you that knows what you're going to react to, for sure.
I think, too, people think, oh, well, if you're that level... You know, there's a cockiness or whatever, but it's a lot of the opposite. And it's really what anybody struggles with, no matter professional career or running career, whatever it is that you're doing in your life. You know, you have these voices in your head that are like, well, I can't do that, or this person's better. This person's telling me I'm not good enough, or I can't do something. But you need someone around, whoever it is, your friends, your family, spouse, whatever, to tell you basically to shut the hell up. And that voice in your head is not really actually reality or true. And know that the person you're running against or competing against or at work with has the same voices in their head as well, and not to listen to them. So, yeah,
well said. Mm-hmm.
Well, before we close out this podcast, I want to give another shout out and thank you to 361, our sponsor. They both sponsor me and Jesse. I want to thank them and allowing us to come together and put this thing in motion.
All right. Thank you, lovely ladies, Diana and Kelly. We appreciate you so much for coming out tonight. It was very entertaining. We enjoyed talking with you, as always, every day.
We'll send you our invoices.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
It's gonna be steep.
I don't think we can afford that hourly rate.
You're correct.
But... You guys were great tonight.
Of course we were. Always.
So we haven't got to this yet. We teased it earlier.
let's do the big reveal on what everybody's been drinking tonight. So you want to start off, Dana?
I am going with what I consider an indie favorite, the OG Sun King Cream Ale. Shout out to Sun King. It's an amazing brewery in Indianapolis.
That's what I'm drinking too.
All right, Kelly. And Kelly and Diana approve of Sun King Cream Ale.
That located downtown Indy.
So I am drinking a nice craft brew, the Daredevil Liftoff, which is a very excellent brew and my favorite beer. So, Blake, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a man's beer, a Coors.
A Coors Light.
A Coors.
All right, Coors Light, yeah.
Tap the Rockies.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Coors is going to be our next sponsor.
That's
what
All right.
Running on Indy.
All right, so make sure to tune in to our next episode where we're going to be featuring an elite athlete. It's a mystery athlete. We haven't announced it yet, but you're going to want to tune in and see who that is. It's going to be really great. And as mentioned earlier on the show, we're going to be giving away a pair of 361 shoes. And how you win it on this episode is we want you to go to our Twitter page and tell us about your support networks.
Like, what's the Twitter page?
Good point. Our Twitter page, Running on Indy, where we'd appreciate it if you follow us as well. So go there, tell us about your support networks like we've talked about tonight and what they mean to you. And we're going to choose our best responses and our best response that we like the most and give them a pair of 361 shoes. And we'll probably, in a future episode, be reading some of those responses as they come in. So as always, make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, like our Facebook page, check out our blog. They're all at Running on Indy. And if you like what you heard tonight and you were entertained, please, please share us. That's how we grow. That's how we continue to be sponsored. And once again, I'm Jesse Davis.
And I'm Blake Robertson.
Make sure to keep
running on Indy.